Hello everyone and welcome back to The Sports Scientist. You're listening to the podcast of The Sports Scientist. So yeah, from last week I've been trying to get some intro music done for the podcast, but then I'm still trying to get it done. So as of now, I don't have any intro music. All right. I think we're going to just stick down to the same old intro as of now. I think I'll make something within the next podcast because I've scheduled it in my calendar. All right. Without further ado, so today's topic is going to be supplementation. Well, the topic is supplementation, a misconceived taboo in the Indian market. But yeah, before we start, I am aware and I do know that many are not a fan of it. But I also know that quite a few are diehards of these for bodybuilding and some heavily sponsored sports. But the science of supplementations and its necessity are hardly understood among either of the extremes. Controversy is a Mobi strip in the field of research, and so is the settlement on deciding the best time for having the appropriate supplementation in a workout schedule. Even if to have a supplementation or not. Well, few fitness aficionados love having protein after a workout, and a few the opposite. But I've also heard many of them complain that they have a carbohydrate supplementation before training, and then it gives them a bloating effect initially, but then later the body gets acclimatized to it. Few have also said that it makes them completely impossible to consume carbohydrate drinks prior to workout on cardio days, and the other part of the crowd prefers protein shakes to carbohydrate ones. So much of terms and so much of recommendation. So there's so much of references, and at the end it just lands in confusions. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to make things understandable and you know, understand the parts of science and mechanisms of actions of supplementation, so that, you know, we don't need anyone to script them or you know, to prescribe them for our own needs. So before I start, I want everyone to have this in their mind. Anyone who is having the idea of taking a supplementation, it's very essential that one should know what suits him or her. The trainer must obviously take this into account if a trainer is going to prescribe them. The GI response, the gastrointestinal responses, can be different from each person, and as a scientist or as a club of scientists, we must encourage the athletes to try the range that's available in the market before asking them or before prescribing them to a particular type of a supplementation. We can obviously manipulate their feedbacks with signs and you know, deduce an appropriate choice of supplementation schedule that would choose the athlete after making them have a try on the ranges that's available. Alright, so the concept of supplementation has always been superimposed with health hazards and so much of myths. I would never really say that there are no side effects, to be honest, but obviously there are side effects, and there would be side effects if anyone and everyone starts randomly consuming anything and everything out of a box. And that is why, to a lot of Indian parents, the word within quotes, supplementations, has always been a forbidden context to their kids. Scripting a methodology and scheduling their intake is a very crucial and a vital part of prescribing an entire supplementation. Just because one starts to hit the gym, it doesn't mean that he or she needs to be on, you know, immediate supplementations of different stuffs. As a matter of fact, the concept of supplementation just does not revolve only around mere proteins and carbohydrates or fat burners. There is even in these array of proteins, carbs, and fat burners, there's a huge array of subclassifications of the same as well. For instance, even in protein, we have whey protein, we have casein protein, we have soy protein, we have rice protein. So it's a huge subclassifications of the already huge classification of supplementation. So not just proteins, the supplementations on the whole itself is classified into a lot of varieties. And not all is recommended for all, and not all is recommended for every sport or the training type that athlete is undergoing. It is very essential for the trainer or the head coach to have an in-depth knowledge on these types and the concept of its application to the athletes. Few of the common supplementations that are widely accepted includes proteins, carbohydrates, BCAA, branched chain amino acids, wheat, vitamins and minerals. They also take up various forms of carbohydrate, like carbohydrate loading, glycerol supplementation, enzyme supplementation, and at times even people take hormones. Not a big fan of that. Anyway, one of the most important thing to consider is while you prescribe a supplementation is that it should be made sure that it does not interfere with the drug clearance test of a specific sport. That's very important, and also it does not interfere with any physiological conditions that the athlete is facing through. A few enzymes and hormones can cause adverse side effects as well, so it is advisable to obtain a medical clearance before administering it to the athlete. Recently, dietitians have started commercializing and fantasizing the term immunonutrition. I don't know, perhaps the word is so sexy that many are a fan of it. But anyway, immunonutrition is nothing. It's just a pretty new branch in the field of nutrition, and it involves the study of various components of food metabolites for its immunity related aspects, and by scientific means proposing and deducing a pattern for their practical implications. Basically, this study focuses on monitoring the immune development through dietary supplementation. Well, that is just that. To me, it doesn't sound sexy, but the word does. As said earlier, consuming supplementations without proper guidance can drive into adverse health hazards. One must have the knowledge of the dosage, timing, and even the type of supplementation, as I'm insisting. Dosage, timing, and type of the supplementation required for his or her body, or even his or her athlete's body. And also must keep in mind the nature of the sport or the training session that the athlete is going through. Higher dosages can cause complications in excretion and potentially affect the kidneys. Well, there are a few considerations that has to be accounted for in order to have an effective, efficient, and a safe utility of these supplementations. Well, now it does take everyone to ponder if there are so much rules, so much things to consider, so many factors to look into, and plus so many side effects and so many adverse effects. So why would someone take it? Like, why is it even necessary? But then I got around with it. So I thought, instead of looking why to take it, I started researching on how to use them. Then at the end of that research, that's when I got to know that the supplementation that everyone takes is just not for the mere physical activities, as in the performance of the physical activities or the physique of the athlete. They play a major role in promoting a healthier lifestyle to an individual. So the practical applications can be made simple by understanding the mechanism of action and the effects of the supplementation within the human body. There are a few checkpoints that can be used to effectively choose and, you know, make an efficient supplementation patterns. Now, I would like to discuss in detail about those checkpoints that affect the efficiency of a supplementation prescription, and they are as follows. The athlete must be allowed to sample his preferences and test out the compatible ones amongst the range available in the market. A proper qualified nutritionist or even a dietitian must have the ultimate authority with regards to finalizing the supplementation schedule if you belong to any club or a gym even. The club or the whole team must monitor the athletes and deduce and figure out the when, who, and what aspects of the supplementation pattern. That is, when I can give a supplementation, to whom I can give a supplementation, and what type of supplementation should I give to the person that I'm considered about. And again, the coaches or the trainers must not interfere with the quantity and the quality and the loading rates of the supplements, because these things should be discussed, approved, and deduced by a professional nutritionist or a dietitian. Of course, the coaches and trainers can definitely have a say in the decision, but the ultimatum of this decision has to be under a qualified professional. The nutritionist must use the anthropometric supports and guidelines while drafting out the supplementation planning. This can be highly useful on deducing the dosage and the frequency for elite athletes and even normal population in that regards. One must take into the consideration and respect the athlete's cultural, religion, and traditional habits or customs. This is very important, as it would enhance and boost up the psychological mind state of the athlete. The psychological value of ingesting foods that are familiar and you know, imparts a feeling of tried and true feelings should never be underestimated. The nutritionist must have a thorough checkup about the food intolerances and allergy histories for each of their athletes. It is also very important that they should know the physiological conditions that the athlete is suffering from. For instance, if the athlete is suffering from diabetes, cardiac problems, and such things, and then make a note of these things, and then keep that in her mind while he or she is prescribing a nutrition, a nutritional chart or supplementation chart for that particular player. Apart from regular training protocols, the uneven day meal should be designed for each sport and each player, as in for each sport, because you know, endurance athletes are advised to consume low glycemic index food as a pre-event meal, and then you know, power event athletes are advised to consume high glycemic foods, or you know, like something like energy bars and energy drinks prior to the event. So this changes, and then the nutritionist must keep this in her mind, in his or her mind, while deducing an appropriate nutritionist plan. The club should also encourage the athletes to take healthy supplements, or else the club should encourage the athletes to take health supplements as well. We do not get complete proteins if the athlete is a vegan. Even with non-vegetarian diet types, the bioavailability of necessary elements often does not meet the requirements. This is so because the strenuous training protocols increases the demand beyond the supply limits. In an environment of competition, there is always peer pressure and prestige associated with consuming fancy drinks and supplement and the quantities of the supplementations that one takes. Well, this is highly to be focused on. The team must discourage such unhealthy practices at any cost. Often these happen in change rooms and restrooms. So yeah, the team should be aware, the head of the team should be aware of these, and they should make it sound it's morally incorrect to do that so that the athlete doesn't do it. The majority of stress and overuse injuries occur as a result of poor muscle balance and activation. Studies have proven that proper diet intakes, they help in recovery of muscle glycogen and thus helps in facilitating muscle balance and activations. And so indirectly, it's supposed, it reduces the incidences of muscle injuries. The bioavailability of the supplements are high. This means that a precise calculation with respect to the athlete's body weight is a pretty important factor. The dosage has to be very accurately monitored for each and every athlete in the team. Even minute amounts of higher dosages would severely affect the athlete over a long period of usage time. Lesser dosages are fine. I wouldn't say fine. Lesser dosages wouldn't have an impact, but then higher dosage can have adverse side effects. So we don't want that on our athlete. The next important point is that the body of every individual has a threshold to metabolize the metabolites that are stuffed through the supplements. This is highly dependent on the weight and energy expenditure levels of the athlete. The nutritional label would clearly indicate the quantity of the components present in grams or per serving in size. The dietitian must calculate the serving size that is suitable and appropriate for every athlete individually. Of course, it is a laborious job to do it for each athlete that they are under, but then come on, that's what you're paid for, so do that. So, you know, in a nutshell, I just wanted to emphasize, you know, as a club up of this whole podcast, I just want to emphasize that the dietary aspects of training must be left to a dietitian or a sports nutritionist. They have been qualified to do that part, and you know, they have the professional acceptance, or they have the professional degree to do that part of the system of a sports scientist. Coaches and trainers must stay away from this, because they recommend the dietary regards based on their experience, expectations, and perceptions. It takes more than just that to understand the functioning system of a whole human body. And as I mentioned earlier, there are various types of supplementations, and each of them is a huge concept and involves a lot of understanding. Well, I could put them in the same podcast, but then, you know, my old man says too much of information in a short period of time is only a waste of time. And he also wanted me, and he also added this, give your readers or listeners the time to process it and then the curiosity to access it. Well, that's why he's an old wise man. Anyway, so I have planned to explain each of the below listed aspects very briefly in a separate blog and a podcast. Well, all you gotta do is go into the description and then just click on it, and then you'll be redirected to that. So the things that I would be discussing are carbohydrate loading, pre-event and post-event eating, glycerol supplementation, protein supplementation, and immunonutrition. And I'm particularly concerned about glutamine and arginine supplementation. Well, getting back to the concept, I've heard people telling me so many things, you know, of the approach that the dietitian or a nutritionist must treat and monitor every individual athlete separately in the team. So and they should script the diet and exercise regimes, and many people have told me it's practically not possible and this wouldn't affect the performance much. But many has not understood the importance of this precision, the impact it can have on an athlete's career. No coach, trainer, or anyone has the right of negligence, especially in those aspects that can affect a client's or an athlete's health. Yes, it takes time and a lot of work. But in fact, that is the work. Like, that is the nutritionist's work. That is the dietitian's work. You're paid for it and you're expected, rather you're obliged to do it. No shortcuts. We cannot generalize or approximate the dosage and patterns, nor can we mess around with our experiences and perceptions. To all those who think they can train with personal experience and encounters, here's what you need to understand. There is a science behind the development of each supplement, and that science would only work in that prescribed mechanism. There are no two ways about it, and it is as simple as that. Just because you understand something differently because of your experience, it doesn't mean that your understanding is going to change the mechanism of action of that particular substrate. So how hard is it? It's just that simple. So yeah, don't, you know, as a budding sports scientist, and you know, as a scientist, you can't do things based on your experience and your expectations and perceptions. Obviously, you can have hypotheses, you can have theories based on that, but as long as you don't prove it, it's just a theory. So don't put it to practice, guys. So yeah, that's all I wanted to say is, so don't give that chance to anyone. For athletes, don't give the chance to anyone and don't let them exploit you. And for the scientists and the trainers, coaches out there, just because you are in this field for quite a long time, it doesn't mean that you know everything. So don't just exploit your clients based on your experiences. Well then, that's it for today.
Well, we have reached the end of this podcast, and at this time I would like to thank everyone who is supporting the team currently, and also I would request everyone, in fact, to share as much as you can the podcast and the blog. And this is not just to increase the audience of my blogging and podcasting. Well, that's there as well, but then I just want everyone to realize that what I've realized lately, the thing is that we need to spread the knowledge that we possess, and then, you know, we need to share the knowledge that we have and then build up an effective team. So this is Nims signing off from the Sports Scientist Podcast. Take care, stay safe, and stay home, wear masks, social distancing, and really be safe from this pandemic and all those things. And bye until you hear to the next podcast.